the relation of the ordinances to the church age. One of the earmarks of ultradispensationalism has always been its interpretation of the Christian ordinances. The two schools, however, are divided in regard to this subject, period. Both reject Christian baptism as having any relation to the church age, period. As to the ordinances of the Lord's Supper, comma, however, comma, there is a distinct cleavage between the two groups, period. One of the extreme groups finds no place for the Lord's Supper in the age of grace. Roman numeral, caps, water baptism. There are several things which divide ultradispensationalists, but there is one thing which unites them all, and that is the rejecting of water baptism as binding on the church today. The following quotation from Welch sets forth the extreme position, colon, quote, "The preaching of the Baptist had been, quote, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, several dashes, he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, Matthew 3:11. During the Gospels, we find water baptism and the promise of baptism in spirit, period. During the Acts, we find water baptism and the baptism in spirit together, period. During the present period, we find caps, no water baptism, comma, but the baptism in spirit only, unquote. Welch, Dispensational Truth, page 226. To set forth the views of the moderate school, the following is submitted from O'Hare, colon, quote, "Most grace preachers claim that we are working under the Great Commission of Matthew 28:19-20, and that we are to baptize with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, comma, after believers are made members of the body of Christ by Holy Spirit baptism, period. But they do not know what for, period. Many defend their practice because, quote, it is too late to change, period, unquote. But not one of the dozen or more water baptism theories can be proved by the Bible, rightly divided, period. Paragraph, they cannot prove their practice by the Bible, comma, except by corrupting some scriptures and wholly ignoring other scriptures, period. Paragraph, it is obvious that because of the vastness of the subject of Christian baptism, the lack of space prohibits the presentation of the doctrine as such. Our concern here is primarily the consideration of the soundness of the ultra-dispensational position in the light of various factors drawn from the scriptures which bear upon this subject, period. The Great Commission, underline paragraph. In a former chapter, it was established that the Great Commission, both in Matthew 28 and in Mark 16, had a definite relationship to the present age, period. The very terminology of the passage was seen to indicate that our Lord meant for the disciples to carry out his commission immediately upon his return to the Father, period. The last verse in the book of Mark reveals that the disciples had so understood the Lord and had begun the execution of the commission immediately, period, paragraph. In the Matthew passage 28:18-20, the Lord tells the disciples that all power is given to him both in heaven and in earth, period. Verse 19 begins with the term O-U-N, which connects it with the preceding one. Concerning this particle, Lenski, L-E-N-S-K-I, comments, paragraph, quote, S-U-N has a peculiar force in the present connection. It draws a conclusion from the gift of all authority bestowed on Jesus. It puts all his power and his authority behind the commission to evangelize the world, period. This, O-U-N, shows that what otherwise would be absolutely impossible now becomes gloriously possible, comma, yea, comma, an assured reality, period, unquote, paragraph. Now, how perfectly this declaration of the Lord concerning his authority accords with Ephesians 1:22-23, where he is spoken of in the same connection in relation to the church, colon, quote, and hath put all things under his feet, comma, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, comma, which is his body, comma, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, period, close quote, paragraph. The heart of the commission, comma, however, comma, is found in the word M-A-T-H-A-T-E-U-S-A-T-E, period. The word teach in the Authorized Version is a misfortunate translation, period. The Greek is much stronger and conveys a different meaning, period. The word is found in the imperative and literally means to turn into disciples, underscore, comma, and the aorist, A-O-R-I-S-T form, carries the thought of its actual accomplishment, period. The emphasis is not put upon the term go, G-O, underscore, since the word is in the participle form, period. Thus, comma, the thought is having gone, comma, disciple, underscore. Period, says Lenski, L-E-N-S-K-I, again, colon, quote, the verb itself does not indicate how, underscore, disciples are to be made, comma. It designates only an activity that will result in disciples. It connotes results, not methods, and ways, period, unquote, paragraph. The two participles, baptizing and teaching, underscore, are the conditioning components of the making into disciples, period. Thus, comma, the baptizing and the teaching complete the making of disciples, period. That Christ's program for this age is in view here seems obvious, period. The order certainly fits the church age, period. The emphasis is upon making disciples of men in all nations. Paragraph, there is still another factor in which should be considered in this connection. The commission shows that the command was given to the disciples, therefore the obedience to the command must rest with them, period. No one can baptize himself, period. Therefore, baptism is a rite which admits into a sphere on the earth where Jesus is owned as Lord, period. People are made disciples only in an outward way, even as in the case of the Jews in the rite of circumcision, period. Baptism serves as the outward sign which draws a line of demarcation between the part of the earth still under the control of Satan and that part which professes an allegiance to the person of Jesus Christ, period. Paragraph, the expression, all things whatsoever I have commanded you, underscore, certainly includes more than is recorded in the four Gospels, period. The all things, underscore, undoubtedly includes much of the unrecorded teaching which the disciples received during the Lord's post-resurrection ministry. Luke tells us in Acts 1:3, colon, quote, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, comma, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, period, unquote. The Great Commission, comma, then, comma, pertains to the kingdom of God and not to the kingdom of heaven. According to the very last verse in the book of Acts, comma, the Apostle Paul had not gotten beyond the Great Commission, period. Notice the words of the text, colon, quote, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, comma, with all confidence, comma, no man forbidding him, unquote. Paragraph, still a final element of the Great Commission which shows its relation to the church age is shown in the expression, comma, quote, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, unquote. Being baptized into, underscore, the name of the triune God certainly suggests the sphere of revelation into which all these enter who receive Christ as Savior, period. This factor very definitely belongs to the age of grace, period. Plumtree, P-L-U-M-P-T-R-E, has an excellent comment in this regard, colon, quote, paragraph, what is meant to be found in is the fact so prominent in the Old Testament, e.g., Exodus 3:14-15, that the name of God is a revelation of what he is, period. Baptism was to be no longer, comma, as it had been in the hands of John as the forerunner, comma, merely a symbol of repentance, comma, but was the token that those who received it were brought into an altogether new relation to him who was thus revealed to them, period, close quote. Paragraph, the commission as seen in Mark 16, colon 15, 16, is directly connected with believing, period. Thus, comma, it becomes a public seal of faith, Romans 10, 9, and 10, period. Here, as in Matthew, the emphasis is not upon the going, but But upon the preaching, the former is expressed by a participle and the latter by the aorist tense period paragraph. The gospel mentioned here is surely not the gospel of the kingdom period. The cross has now brought in the gospel of the grace of God, which admits men into the kingdom of God, John 3:3. It is inconceivable that in the post-resurrection ministry that the Lord would not have revealed to the 11 the new age of grace which was being ushered in, period. It is just as inconceivable to believe that his parting words would be the outline of a world program which was not to become effective until a far distant age, period. Paragraph, the Great Commission has never been annulled or repealed, period. Therefore, we believe that baptism is a Christian ordinance. Paragraph, underscore the Acts period. The ultra-dispensationalists contend that the disciples in the first part of Acts did not carry out Christ's commission as recorded in Matthew and Mark, neither in regard to going into all the world, comma, nor in regard to the baptism in the name of the triune God. Paragraph, there was a baptism for the remission of sins in the book of Acts. There is no question, period. Furthermore, comma, this particular baptism was in the name of Jesus, underscore. The answer to the problem became apparent when it was observed that who were baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Christ, period. It was always in reference to the Jews, Acts 2:38, 19:5, 22:16, period. Israel as a nation had rejected and crucified the Messiah, period. Upon the hearing of Peter's sermon in this regard, the Jews were pricked in their hearts and exclaimed, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter's answer was, quote, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, period, unquote. Peter, however, was speaking to individuals within the nation, for as he continues his sermon, he declares, quote, save yourselves from this untoward generation, unquote. The explanation is set forth in the following comment from Ironside. Quote, paragraph, let those who confess the guilt of themselves and their nation be baptized in the name of the rejected and crucified one. This would be manifestly snapping the link that bound them to the apostate people. They would then be sent out of the sphere on which governmental wrath must fall, period. Administratively, their sins would be remitted, period. They would not share in the judgment so soon to come upon Messiah rejecting Judah, Luke 21:16-24. Quite in keeping with this, it will be found that the Gentiles are never told to be baptized for the remission of their sins, period. To Paul, a Jew, Ananias conveyed a similar message, Acts 22:16, paragraph, the personal baptism of Paul. Paul himself received Christian baptism, Acts 9:18. That he did not minimize its importance is seen in his reference to it as late as Acts 22:16 in his defense before the multitude in relating his conversion and ministry. Through Ananias, the Lord commanded Paul to be baptized, Acts 9:6. It should be noted, however, that the Lord commanded his baptism in the light of his Gentile ministry, period. When the Lord appeared to Ananias, he declared, quote, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel, Acts 9:15, period. If baptism pertains only to Israel, why was the Apostle Paul himself baptized in reference to the making known of his commission to the Gentiles? Question. The Apostle Paul designated himself as the Apostle of the Gentiles, Ephesians 3:2, Colossians 1:25-27, period. Furthermore, he undoubtedly related his experience in the house of Ananias time and time again. Period. The Corinthian church surely has no exception to this. Period. To this church he writes, quote, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ, 1 Corinthians 11:1, period. The same exhortation was given to the Philippians, Philippians 3:17. Paragraph, finally, if the practice of baptism in this dispensation is the gross error that ultra-dispensationalists make it to be, it seems that the Apostle Paul would have made it clearly known had his own personal baptism no relationship to the church, period. Kelly, in his comment on Acts 22:16, says, paragraph, quote, here we learn, comma, two, comma, that Ananias told the apostle before he was baptized that he should be a witness for Christ unto all men of what he had seen and heard, period. This ought to have prepared the Jews for the wide scope given to Paul's ministry, period. Would they have him resist the, quote, God of our fathers, unquote, and his known will, question? There were two witnesses, comma, by whose mouth every word should be established, period. In chapter 9, his commission is named to Ananias by the Lord, semicolon, but the historian does there mention that this was repeated to the apostle, period. Here we learn that so it was, for he repeats it himself, unquote, paragraph. Paragraph in summation, hence it has been binding upon the church down through the years. The following words of William Kelly can be accepted in this regard, colon, quote, baptism is the sign of salvation, comma, as another apostle teaches, comma, who carefully lets us know in the same context that the effectual work rests on Christ's death and resurrection, 1 Peter 3, period. Without faith, no doubt, all is valueless before God, semicolon, but, comma, however precious may be that which faith receives through the word, comma, the outward sign has its importance, period. So much is this so, comma, that no one stands on the external ground of a Christian, comma, who has not been baptized with water to the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, period. To refuse baptism is to despise the authority of the Lord, as unbelief slights his grace, period. Roman 2 center caps the urgency of the Great Commission. According to ultra-dispensationalism, the Lord's Commission in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, and in Mark 16, 15 to 18, has no reference to the church at all. The work there predicted will not begin until taken up by the remnant of Israel in the days of the Great Tribulation. On the surface of the matter, one would think that ultra-dispensationalism must be rather sure of its ground in making such a bold statement, particularly when one remembers that this is the commission upon which the church has acted for 1900 years in its worldwide missionary endeavor. The urgency of this commission, however, militates against such a view. There are several factors which reveal that our Lord's commission here was incumbent upon those to whom it was addressed. Paragraph. In looking at the context of both the Matthew and Mark passages, it is clear that these were the last words spoken by our Lord to his disciples before his ascension. If the ultra-dispensational interpretation of this passage were the correct one, is it not strange that the Lord's last words to them should pertain to a far distant age? It would seem more natural, on the other hand, for him to speak of the work which they were to take up immediately after his return to the Father. Ironside, in his characteristic manner, has brought out this factor very forcibly in the paraphrase of the Matthew passage. Paragraph, the urgency of the commission is further seen in the form of the verbs used in the original. In both Matthew and Mark, the aorist imperative is employed with a participle. The use of the aorist in the imperative form, according to Moulton, quote, makes it a decidedly more sharp and urgent form than the present, unquote. Then again, comma, in reference to the same form, he says that it is, quote, the simplest, directest, most urgent form with which language supplies us, unquote. Thus the Lord's words take the form of an urgent command which was to be executed at once. The Lord also promises his power and abiding presence for its effectual execution. When alongside this urgency is placed the time of the utterance of the command, it's unquestionable that our Lord intended for the disciples to begin preaching the gospel immediately after the descent of the Holy Spirit. There remains, however, still greater evidence for this interpretation. Paragraph. Scripture plainly asserts that the disciples understood that our Lord intended for this command to be executed immediately. Period. Says Mark, in the closing verses of his book, Mark 16, 19 to 20. Paragraph. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Period. And they went forth, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Paragraph. Unquote. This scripture plainly shows that the disciples accepted the Great Commission as directed to themselves personally and took up its execution immediately after our Lord's ascension. There is still another factor in the Great Commission which should not be overlooked, period. We refer to the geographical scope of its propagation, period. In the Matthew passage, the Lord commanded them to go to all nations, underscore. That our Lord wanted to emphasize the universality of the preaching of the gospel is seen in his choice of the word ethnos, E-T-H-N-O-S, which according to French is with few exceptions used both in the Septuagint and the New Testament as referring to all mankind outside of the covenant people, period. The Mark passage is equally clear with the usage of the expression all the world, underscore, and to every creature. Paragraph. How different was this new commission to the disciples from their original mission recorded in Matthew 10, 5-6, quote, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, period. This original limited apostolic mission is restricted to the four Gospels and is related only to Christ's earthly ministry, period. In the earlier part of our Lord's earthly ministry, he was offering the kingdom spoken of in the Old Testament to Israel. Hence, the mission of the disciples given here was restricted to the Jews, period. Now, if this were the only commission recorded in the four Gospels, comma, then the ultra-dispensationalists might have some ground upon which to base their claims that the ministry of the disciples after our Lord's ascension did not go beyond the scope of the house of Israel, even as mentioned in this passage, period. But, on the other hand, we see a definite transition in our Lord's ministry after the Jews had rejected his offer of the kingdom, period. The commission which he gave to the disciples immediately preceding his ascension shows that he had turned to the entire world and had given the Gentile an equal privilege with the Jew to receive his salvation. The going out of the message into all the nations further shows that Jew and Gentile are now upon the same basis, and consequently those receiving the message, both Jew and Gentile, belong to the same body, period. It must be remembered that the scriptures plainly assert in Ephesians 2, 13-16, that the previous middle wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile was broken down in the cross of Christ, and not at the time when the revelation of the mystery was given to Paul, as the ultra-dispensationalists would have us believe, period. The Great Commission, comma, incidentally, comma, was uttered by our Lord after the cross. Furthermore, did the Apostle Paul have any additional revelation in regard to the character of the church, or did he but merely receive the larger doctrine of the church, comma, which in reality was only an elaboration of the one already introduced by our Lord, question? Though the consideration of this question has been left for a future chapter, it should be kept in mind in this connection, as well as in relation to other factors to be considered, since the scriptural answer to it determines the validity of the entire ultra-dispensational system, period. Paragraph. In setting forth their view, the ultra-dispensationalists advance the argument that the Book of Acts shows that the ministry of the 12 was to Israel, and it was not until the revelation of the church was given to Paul that the early church actually began a worldwide missionary endeavor, period. Hence, they conclude that the ministry of the 12 was only the reoffer by the Holy Spirit of the kingdom to Israel. Israel, however, rejected the second offer, and consequently the Apostle Paul came along as the missionary to the Gentiles, period. Paragraph. In making such a claim, ultra-dispensationalism has overlooked two important factors, period. The first of these is the fact that our Lord had expressly commanded them to remain in Jerusalem until the coming of the Holy Spirit, Luke 24:49, Acts 1:8, and that their ministry should begin at Jerusalem and ultimately expand to the uttermost parts of the earth, period. Furthermore, the course of this expansion is designated in Acts 1:8, from Jerusalem to all Judea, from Judea to Samaria, and from Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The order here appointed was exactly observed, at Jerusalem, Acts 2:7, Judea and Samaria, Acts 8:1-5, and after the conversion of Saul in all parts of Asia, Greece, and last of all at Rome, period. In the light of this progressive ministry, both as outlined and by the Lord himself and carried out by the apostles, comma, upon what authority can the ultra-dispensationalists distinguish between a Jewish ministry and a Gentile ministry as represented by the 12 and by the Apostle Paul, comma, respectively, comma, and in the light of the fact that our Lord does not designate any change of message respecting the regions to which he refers by name. The second factor overlooked by the ultra-dispensationalists in this regard is the reluctance on the part of the apostles to carry out the Lord's commission, period. It was some time before they fully comprehended the special work that God had begun to do, period. They seem to be reluctant in accepting the admission of the Gentiles, period, says Hort. Quote, in what manner the 12 understood themselves afterwards to be charged with this enlarged responsibility, it is difficult to make out. The admission of the Gentiles was assuredly not accepted at once without hesitation as a necessary consequence of the terms of the Lord's commission, period. But the mere recognition of his having at this solemn time so expressly dwelt on the ultimate worldwide destination of his gospel, comma, must have been enough to affect deeply the character of their work, comma, even in its first and narrowest sphere at Jerusalem. Paragraph. That the above is not mere conjecture is clear upon considering the reaction of Peter to the vision which he had upon the housetop of Simon the Tanner, Acts 10:13-14, and the reaction of the Jewish believers upon the hearing of Peter's experience in the household of Cornelius, Acts 11:1-3. For a still further corroboration of this factor, comma, we submit an excellent comment from the pen of Lange, L-A-N-G-E, comma, taken from his remarks on Matthew 28:19. Quote, the question how the Gentiles are to be received into the church is not yet answered, comma, though the unconditioned reception of believers is found in the appointment, comma, that nations, comma, as nations, comma, are to be Christianized, comma, without being first made Jews, semicolon, that they are to be marked out as Christians by baptism, comma, without any reference to circumcision, period. The development of this term is left by the Lord to the work of the Spirit. The revelation recorded in Acts 10, period, comma, is the Spirit's exegesis of the already perfect commission and not a continuation of expansion of that commission, comma, which was completed with the work of Christ, period. We cannot, comma, therefore, comma, assume by the apostle that the apostles up to that time held circumcision to be a necessary condition of baptism or reception into the church, semicolon. They were merely in the dark regarding this question, comma, until the Holy Spirit explained the work of Christ unto them, unquote. Paragraph. This consideration of the urgency of the Great Commission shows that our Lord intended for his disciples to be worldwide disseminators of his gospel, comma, and that his disciples had thus understood him, period. Furthermore, comma, the very essence of the commission is the work upon which the larger doctrine of the church is built.